For many of us, things that happened more than a decade ago probably feel pretty far away. But for veterans of the Iraq War and their families, 10 years can feel like very little, because the damage wrought by that war is still very much with them. You may have heard the story of Thomas Young, a veteran who was shot and paralyzed by sniper fire just days into his deployment in Iraq. He's made headlines recently because after nearly 10 years of physical pain, he's decided to stop taking medication, remove his feeding tube, and end his life. Here he is speaking on NPR's All Things Considered this past weekend.
I decided that I was no longer going to watch myself deteriorate.
Young has been very public about his wish to die. But for some soldiers, the pain is much more private. In 2012, at least 349 active duty troops committed suicide, more than the number who died in combat in Afghanistan that same year. Congress and the military have taken steps to try and help, but transitioning to civilian life is difficult, and it can take a long time for deeply buried issues to surface.
If you would have asked me to do this interview, 5 years ago, it wasn't going to happen. One, because I just didn't know how. I didn't know how to put in the words. And two, I wouldn't talk to you about it. I'd be like, I'd just block you out. I don't think so. Who are you?
That's Dave Smith. He was in the Marine Corps from 2003 to 2007, and he deployed to Iraq twice. Now he's a political science major at UC Berkeley, just a few months away from graduating. But he says he almost didn't make it through. He spoke with KALW's Casey Miner about life after the war.
Look at Dave Smith, and here's what you'll see. A smiling guy in his late 20s, carrying a backpack, and willing to at least entertain the idea of joining a circle of dancing people on UC Berkeley's campus in the middle of the day.
Do you ever hop into the dancing? There's like always...
Oh, sometimes. Only if I'm in a really good mood. But I mean, whatever. I may as well. It's campus. You're supposed to do fun stuff, so why not?
Take a walk around that campus and talk to Dave, and he'll tell you what many college seniors might. That he doesn't know exactly what he wants to do with his life.
You know, for me, it's difficult because I joined the Marine Corps, and that's what I wanted to do. That was it. I wanted to be a Marine. And I didn't really have any plans afterwards. I was going to do it for 20 years, and that's all I wanted to do.
He tells me that was still true when he deployed to Iraq in 2004. And then the fighting started, some of the heaviest of the war.
And, you know, that's what I thought I wanted. I was like, okay, I want to be there and I want to fight and, you know, I want to shoot guns and blow stuff up and, you know, be that guy. And I think that there's a really big difference between thinking that and being in that reality. You get there and, you know, bullets are cracking over your head and your vehicle's getting hit by explosions and you're like, this isn't fun. This isn't fun at all.
Dave and I don't talk in much detail about what he saw in Iraq. It comes out in pieces, references.
You do things that Christians aren't supposed to do, you know? You're fighting and you're shooting people and, you're filled. You almost have to be, but you're kind of filled with a sense of, like, violence and anger. It's what war does to you. That's just what happens. So a lot of that, you know, I got to a point where... I just gave up on all of it. I gave up on all of the religion, gave up on everything. And to the point where, you know, we'd go out on patrols on a daily basis, and I'd just be like, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell, and I'm fine with that. Like, whatever, I'm going to hell.
In 2007, after his second tour, Dave left the service and started to think about what he'd do next. He started taking online classes through the GI Bill and soon transferred to community college. He surprised himself by earning a 4.0 and started thinking about four-year schools, but he wasn't sure.
Community college is not terribly difficult, but like I said, I wasn't the greatest student. And in the Marine Corps, I was like pretty much what we call a door kicker, you know?
Wait,
so
what's that? I don't know what that is.
A door kicker, you know, we call them door kickers, like an infantry guy. You just go in and it's like, hurrah, Marine Corps, grunt smash, boom, bang, you know, wreck stuff, and that's what we do. You know, I thought I was kind of like, all right, you know, I'm smart enough to kick in a door, but I don't know if I'm smart enough to do university.
He is. He'll graduate Berkeley in May with a 3.6 GPA. He's got friends, he likes his classes, he's involved with veterans groups. The bad things, they're harder to see.
Going on a combat deployment and really being in combat, it's kind of like taking a plate, you know, and dropping it on the ground. So where you're the plate, you drop that plate on the ground, you can put it together afterwards, but it's not going to be quite the same plate.
Dave doesn't know if he can locate the moment he cracked, but he remembers when he finally saw the fractures. After almost an hour of walking and talking, we make our way to a quiet bench, and he starts to tell me that story.
I had stopped going to counseling appointments for, you know, a year or so because I was busy. I didn't have time for whatever. And I kind of got caught up in just this downward... I'm not a depressed guy. I'm not, like, as a person. But I had some severe depression issues. I had a lot of stuff going on that I just, for whatever reason, didn't realize or didn't see building up. And finally, you know, there was an evening where my girlfriend, who I had dated for about 3 years, she knew that I was having a lot of stuff going on and that, you know, I was not the same person that she had started dating 3 years ago, that I was just, you know, I can't think of a term to describe it on a radio program without getting bleeped out. So, but anyways, just not really being a good dude. And so she wanted to have a serious conversation with me. She told me this. She said, hey, you know, I want you to come over to my house on Monday night. We're going to have a serious conversation. We need to talk. And I was like, yeah, okay. So I went out that weekend mountain biking, and just a lot of stuff was going on. I was having these crazy, like, suicidal thoughts that I'm not, you know, not like, oh, I'm so depressed, I want to shoot myself, but more of like a... like seeing it as a challenge. I wonder if I could do that. You know, like, I wonder if I've got the balls to do something like that. But just crazy, you know, crazy stuff going on. And I don't know why it was. I went mountain biking and was camping all by myself that weekend and just drinking and drinking and mountain biking, which is a bad combination. I'm convinced that at that point I was trying to wreck myself in a big way. I came back from that weekend trip and I was just kind of still drinking. You know, I came home and was drinking, and I was supposed to go over to the house that day, and I had to do something on campus. I got hammered at the house and then went to campus drunk and was on campus drunk, and then I went to her house, and you know, she came downstairs and was starting to talk to me, and I was just kind of like blankly staring at her, and she was like, are you drunk right now? And I was like, yeah, no big deal. And she just looked at me and she's like, I don't even know who you are right now. And you know, I just looked at her and I was like, you know what? I don't know who I am either. Like, I don't know why we're dating or what. I don't remember exactly how it went, but I just broke up with her. Like right there, which she was probably going to break up with me anyways, after all the stuff that I've been doing, I don't know. And so I broke up with her and she's standing there. She's bawling her eyes out, literally. You know, we've had a relationship for 3 years, and in a lot of ways we had a great relationship. She was an amazing girl. And she's like just crying, and I stood there with my eyes like rolled in the back of my head, just laughing, like laughing.
We keep talking for a minute, and then he says there was something else that happened earlier that day, right before he went to his girlfriend's house. He remembers sitting on his couch in his apartment, having those same kinds of thoughts he had while he was biking.
So finally I got up and I went into my room and I grabbed my gun, and you know, it was loaded with 3-ounce slug, and I was like, all right, whatever, we can find out. And I just stood in there, drunk, like staring down the barrel of a shotgun, just kind of like looking at it, playing with it. And I was like, what the hell am I doing? So, you know, I put it in a case, and I locked it up, and I opened my roommate's door, and I locked his door from the inside, and I just threw the entire thing on his floor and locked his door and closed it in there. And I was like, okay, short of kicking his door down to get this, in which case, when we're talking a fully, really desperate scenario, in which case it's something completely different, you know, that's what I did. I just locked all my guns in my roommate's room, and I took off, and that's when I went to campus and, you know, hammered to campus. And it was kind of like this. It was pretty much a full-on disaster.
He woke up the next morning hungover.
Kind of like, oh, God, did that really happen? Is all this, you know, like, have I really gotten to that point? To be perfectly honest, I felt for months at a time after that, like my heart was just going to explode. It sucked. I mean, it really hurt. But, you know, that's when I really, really started to do the work, really started to do what I needed to do. And I guess that's where the transition started. Yeah, if there's a point for transition, that's it, right? So, bam.
This all happened about a year ago. And then after that, he started going back to therapy. Things still weren't totally smooth. Around the same time, a close friend of Dave's killed himself. He was also a veteran. They'd gone on long bike rides together and shared a lot of their experiences. Dave says his friend had been doing everything he was supposed to do.
You know, he was doing the counseling. He was taking medication. He was trying to find the right combination. He was an advocate for many nonprofit veterans groups who help veterans. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, took me and got me into some programs that have, in a lot of ways, kind of saved my life, that have really helped me out, that have done incredible things for me. So he was doing the work. And that's kind of the most tragic thing.
In the past year, Dave says he's done a lot of work, too. He's tried to open up more, tried to deal with his experiences and not to shut people out. He says he's had a lot of support, but he thinks veterans need much more.
So part of it is you go and fight. If you're going to go and fight, the goal is to win. If the goal is to win, you want to be the most aggressive fighter out there. It's a mindset. It's an entire, it's a massive change in a lot of things, personality and otherwise. And it has to happen. You have to be that fighter. You have to be that guy that's willing to do whatever it takes to protect the guys to your left and right, to come home. It's completely understandable. But when we return home, it's like there's supposed to be this instant switch into, oh, back to civil society, cool, I'm good. And, you know, it's not quite that easy.
Dave thinks making that switch successfully requires help on several fronts. Counseling is one, finding work is another.
My first resume was 3 pages long, you know? And I'm taking that and I'm submitting it to employers and it's like, Dave Smith, combat veteran, you know, and we spearheaded this number of operations in Iraq and we captured this many insurgents and we found this many weapons. And yeah, obviously any employer is going to look at that and be like, well, all right, what do we do with this guy?
These days, Dave's got some other work experience under his belt and he's involved with several veterans groups. He helps counsel other people like him. When he graduates, he's going to spend a year on a global Christian mission trip and try to work out where he should go next.
And I still hold that view of dropping the plate and it breaking. But now, I definitely believe that you can put it back together, that it can be the, you know, maybe not exactly the plate that it was before, but very close. And maybe you don't want it to be the plate, you know. You put it back in the fire, it gets, you know, it's a slightly harder plate than it used to be. Maybe it won't break, you know, the next time you drop it.
For Cross Currents, I'm Casey Miner.